Welcome to BDO in the Boardroom, a podcast series for board of directors and those charged with governance. Each episode features a topical discussion with board peers and subject matter experts on both trending and timeless boardroom issues, covering a myriad of issues, including, but not limited to, mitigating risk in the increasingly digital world, navigating your board career, from landing your first board seat to succession planning in support of the next generation, to other top-of-mind issues such as ESG reporting, shareholder activism, and the insights we share through the BDO Center for Corporate Governance and Financial Reporting. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. Let's get started.
I'm Amy Rojic, and I direct BDO Center for Corporate Governance, and I'm pleased to be here today with my CEO, Wayne Burson, to request his thoughts about our firm's transformational change to establish an ESOP and what audit committees and those charged with governance are most interested to understand. So before we begin, a little bit about Wayne. Wayne has served as the Chief Executive Officer for BDO since 2012. He's also served on the global board of BDO International since 2012 and has been the chair of that board since 2014. He also serves as the vice chair of the governance board for the Center for Audit Quality. And among other prestigious roles he holds or has held, he was a founding member of the 30% Club, aimed at increasing gender diversity at board and executive committee levels, and I dare say before diversity was in vogue. So Wayne has been a significant role model for me in my 20-year career here with BDO. So it is with true pleasure that I can share Wayne with you all today. So Wayne, welcome to BDO in the boardroom.
Thanks, Amy. Happy to be here.
All right. So let's get right to it. What in the current environment is driving accounting and auditing firms really to look at new business models?
That's a great question. You know, there's certainly a different number of ways you can look at this, but to me, the biggest issue is talent and finding a way to bring more people into the profession and finding a way to then keep those people in the profession. If you look at the statistics around people, there are roughly 45,000 firms, accounting firms in America. There's a need of about 125,000 people at the entry level every year. That's based on research by the Department of Labor and the American Institute of CPAs. And then you got to look at the other side. You know, you're doing supply and demand. You look at the other side, what are the business schools graduating? And they're graduating around 60, 65,000. So you've got a built-in shortage. So I think people have to look at new models. I think at the same time, we are in a highly regulated environment, which makes it even harder for people to, I'd say, enjoy their job. It's not that easy. And this is something that's got to be taken into account. So when you look at all of this, the firms have to address the people issue. They've got to address the regulation side of things. And at the same time, they have to grow. So you've got to still grow, and you need to have sufficient growth in order to fuel your investments in innovation and technology, et cetera. So there's a lot of things that are out there that's causing enough angst amongst the CPA firms. And a number of people are saying the partnership model is dead. So that's where we are today.
All right. Well, thank you for that background. So I guess in your role as the CEO and a member of our own board, what framework did leadership at BDO follow when deciding our path toward an employee stock ownership plan or ESOP model?
So, Amy, as a board, it's the job of our board of directors to continually be assessing our company and making decisions that are in the best interest of sustaining value for the long term. So we have about 12,000 employees in the US and in our strategic service centers. For us, it's important that we invest in our people. And it's important that we are able to rely on the products and the services produced by the various teams, whether they are in the US or outside the US. So in short, you know, we feel we have a very important role in the capital markets, and we take it very seriously. So when we looked at the shortage of people, and how do we keep people engaged, how do we keep people at BDO, we had to look at a number of different options. But we always came back to what I'd say would be a few core tenets that have served us well. Number one, we have a desire to maintain control of our governing board and the strategy of the firm. Two, from a practical consideration, private equity did not afford that critical component for us. We looked at people. This was the driver for us. The decision to become an ESOP company reflects our core purpose, which is helping people thrive every day, and the culture that puts people first. So if you think about having a mission of helping people thrive every day, that when we say people, it's people at BDO, it's their families at home, it's our community as well, because we firmly believe one has to be involved in your community and give back to the community. And then we're dealing with our clients. So there are a number of different moving parts, let's say, in terms of people and helping people thrive. We had a strategic overview that we undertook, and we looked at a number of options. We looked at the status quo. We didn't have to do anything because our firm was doing very well. We were very successful, very profitable, so we could have easily stayed the course. We wanted to build. You never know when that course is going to come to an end and you've got to do something different. We looked at sovereign wealth funds. We looked at Canadian pension plans because their pension structure is different to the US. So there are firms there that are looking to deploy capital through investments in some US companies. We looked in the US at family offices that were looking to make investments. We looked at private equity. What is it that's attracting them to a company? And the more we looked at that and analyzed it, the more it became clear to us, we're talking about an ESOP. Now, if you go back to the around about 2000, I was actually the audit partner on the ESOP Association. And little did I know that one day our firm would be an ESOP. But when you think about what an ESOP does, it really reflects the core purpose of helping people thrive every day and the culture that puts people first. Being an ESOP company means that our employees receive beneficial ownership with a stake in the business. They share responsibility for the firm's success and share in the rewards. So what happens is it empowers a employee and our expanding employee base as true stakeholders in the longevity of the firm. And with quality being a key driver for us, by sharing the firm's value with all participants, this supports an ownership mindset and a high engagement in driving quality in all that we do. But, you know, when you look at those examples that I gave you of the different options a firm has, if they're looking at assessing where can we go from being a partnership, and you have to recognize that it's only really the big firms in America that are partnerships. Most of the others are already corporations. So you think about it, comes down to private equity and I would say an ESOP. And an ESOP is done through private credit. So it's not private equity, private credit. We looked at private equity seriously because we wanted to consider what is it that was out there attracting some of our competitors We felt with our heavy emphasis on people first, we needed to go a different route. And this way, we were able to bring people into the fold to give them a beneficial interest, people that do a lot of the hard work in the background, the unsung heroes. And our feeling was, why should they not share in the firm's value? They're contributing a lot to the success of the firm, and they should be able to benefit as well. So for us, it was an easy decision. Once the ESOP came forward, this was easy for our principals to vote for.
Now, that's a nice segue into my next question. So I guess, how would you respond to external audit committees or board members who really want to understand better how the changes BDO is making will enhance the work product that we're providing to the market?
So one of the key drivers here is staff turnover. So I don't know if you know, but last year in 2023, the AICPA said there was turnover of 39% amongst all the firms in America. At BDO, we were around 18%. Now, we weren't happy with 18% until we heard about the 39%.
Right.
If you look at the ESOPs in America, there are about 6,000 ESOPs. The average turnover at an ESOP company is 5.9%. So it's a lot better. So when you work with an ESOP company, it often will lead to a better client experience. There's consistency in the service. There's a stronger understanding of the business by our professionals. You know, as beneficial owners, our people as beneficial owners, the employees tend to be more invested in their company's success. And this will lead to stronger engagement and care in the work that's performed and the services that delivered. And I'd say, going back to my initial point about the ability to retain control of our business and to pursue our strategy, where delivering high quality work remains one of our highest priorities. This means that audit committees won't feel any disruption in our focus on executing in our work, the economics and mechanics of how we conduct our work, complying with regulatory and professional standards will also not change. And one of the other questions we get frequently is whether the role of principal that is now used to describe professionals previously known as partners, whether that changes responsibilities of engagement partners. And the answer to that is no. That is merely a title change. Our principals continue to adhere to the responsibilities that they held as engagement partners, engagement quality reviewers, technical reviewers, etc. So no real change there as well. So I think at the end of the day, I think clients get probably enhanced service.
Well, I think that's a great way to kind of conclude our discussion here today. I want to thank you for joining me and sharing your view on the audit profession and our firm's decision to break from a traditional business model. So, Wayne, thank you very much. And thank you to our listeners.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you for listening to BDO in the Boardroom. Past episodes and related insights are available at bdo.com/BDO Boardroom. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify to rate, review, and subscribe. The views expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of BDO. For more information on the BDO Center for Corporate Governance and Financial Reporting and the resources we provide, visit bdo.com/BDO knows governance.